This is what really happened to the cicadas here, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on with all these cicadas here. And now your host, Patrick Slattery. Hey, gang. Welcome to what really happened to the cicadas here. You know, when I do a solo show, recorded solo show, I call it Boomer Vision. But I think from now on, when I do a live show with callers, I'm going to call it What Really Happened to the Cicadas Here. Because it's July. Well, it's almost July. And what's going on with these cicadas? They're not out yet. They should be out. They should be out and they should be screaming by now. They should just be screaming really, really loud. I guess we'll have to wait until July, after the 4th of July. You know what they say. Knee-high, 4th of July, the cicadas are screaming. Okay. And I hear that they are screaming in Central Texas. Well, that's where I got to get to then. All right. So, first of all, this is the show formerly known as National Bugle Radio, now known as What Really Happened to the Cicadas Here. And we're on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the mock news show of free speech. Support it. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, it's badly needed, send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. But if you phone it in, speak really loud, because the cicadas in Central Texas are screaming. All right. So we got a lot of stuff going on. There is a 1-800 number for calling in. I don't even remember what it is anymore. Okay, well, do I give it out? 1-800? Nah, I don't even remember what it is. I forgot it. Because, okay, it's 1-800-313-9443. I didn't actually remember that. I used to remember it, but now I'm remembering the address for the sending fundage, and that you can teach an old dog new tricks, but that old dog has to unlearn a previous trick in order to learn the new trick. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Mr. T taught me that. The other number that you can call in, which is a better number, it's totally binary, almost totally binary, and that would be 512-248-8252. Once again, that is 512-248-8252. All right, so there's stuff going on, and until I get a caller, I'm just going to ramble on. But there's stuff going on. Okay, what's going on? I mean, what are the things we could talk about? You know, call me up. Let's talk. We can talk about dogs and daughters and coffee and cicadas. You know, no big whoop. So France is burning. It's on fire. I don't know if the cicadas are screaming there, but France is on fire. So that is happening. The Supreme Court is saying that Harvard and UNC Chapel Hill can no longer use race. In fact, other schools can no longer use race as a criteria when deciding who's coming into the school. They're still going to do it. It's not going to stop them. But anyway, it was interesting. And that's something to talk about. There's all the Prigozhin and Russia stuff, but that is so June 2023. So, I don't know. I guess get it while you can. Okay, let's just get quickly to the Supreme Court decision, which predictably, there are three women on the court. So it's Sotomayor, it's that lesbian Jewish lady who plays softball, Kagan, and I'm just going to call her Letitia, the Biden's choice, Letitia. I don't know what her name is. They voted against it, but the other six, the six dudes, have voted that they cannot have these schools cannot use race as a criteria. Now, what's going to happen? Because what they're already doing, and they've been doing for a long time, is they've been having they've been using essay questions. Because I coach kids on college admissions, so I'm very familiar with this, and they've been using questions for years, such as what will you bring to the diversity of this school? Who uses that? I can't remember who uses that, but I've coached kids, helped kids with their applications to Harvard, to UNC Chapel Hill, to a bunch of other places, and you get these questions. I'm already starting to get callers, which is a good thing. But Ron Unz. Now, the thing is, when I actually got into this, the whole radio stuff, it was 11 years ago almost. I went on David Duke's show. He invited me on because Kevin McDonald had forwarded him an article I had written for Kevin McDonald's publication on Elena Kagan. So he brought me on to talk about that, and he liked me, so he kept bringing me on. Well, the next thing we were talking about and I did an article for DavidDuke.com back in 2012 on the racial disparities, the anti-white racial bias in admissions to Harvard and some other schools. And we started talking about that. Well, no, we hadn't been talking about it for very long. I think it was a couple of months later that Ron Unz came out with his article, which I will say was better. It was better because Ron Unz is a multimillionaire and doesn't have to do another job. He can just do research. So he did this research, and he had more extensive research than we had. And that article that Ron Unz wrote, where the headline was there's discrimination against Asians, but the footnotes made it clear that there was discrimination against whites and favoritism towards Jews. He wouldn't get traction because most people don't read down to the footnotes and the appendices. But he put it in there. But the headline was Asians, and he knew that's how he could get it picked up on. And it was his article that got these lawsuits going. It was his article, and I want to give him credit. Even though David Duke and I were talking about this before he went to press, I know his research had to have been going on because he had excellent research in there that would have taken a whole lot of time to do. So kudos to Ron Unz. And it even if the schools – one of the things Ron Unz said not in that article. I don't think it was in that article. Maybe it was in something separate. But he said regarding Jewish admissions, they don't ask you if you're Jewish or not. I mean, you can say, but you are given the opportunity to declare a religion. But what he said is, like in one of the essays, all you have to do in your essay is just talk about your grandmother being a Holocaust survivor, and you know that's like your ticket to ride. Okay, we've got Laura from Michigan. Laura, how you doing there? How are the cicadas?
We don't have cicadas in Michigan.
Well, then why do you live there?
I'm happy that we don't have them. I hate those things.
Okay, so you and Mike Rivera are on the anti-cicada agenda, okay? You've been listening to
them. Yeah.
Okay, so what's on your mind?
So, today on Glenn Beck's show, he said that last week, Greta Thunberg and Mike Pence, the traitor, and Zelensky all met in the Ukraine, and they met to discuss about how Putin is ruining the environment. I thought he'd love that.
Yeah, and Zelensky. Well, okay, who destroyed the pipeline? That wasn't Putin. That was an environmental catastrophe, right? Who destroyed the dam? That wasn't Putin, right?
Nope.
And who's been shelling the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, which would be potentially another Chernobyl? And that's not Putin. So, yeah, but they're great intellectuals. Mike Pence and Greta Thunberg. Yeah.
And Zelensky,
Still on puberty blockers?
I don't know. Here they are worried about the environment. Let's talk about all the blood that's on the ground in Ukraine.
Well, there you go. So I've been looking at a lot of data lately. And part of the data I've been looking at is there are these graphs called population pyramids, which I think are really, really interesting. And I'll try to describe it. There's one axis which goes from zero up to 100 or so, however old people get, and then there's another axis which visually represents how many people are in that are that age in the country, right? So if you had, let's just say you had in America. Or whatever, in some country, in a random country, if you had 1 million people who are zero, then you've got a block that's 1 million, that's one wide. And if you got 2 million who is 5 years old, then the 5-year-old block is going to be 2 units wide, and so on. Well, so if you look at a country like Nigeria that's just got where they're reproducing like rabbits. You've got a whole bunch of people who are babies, and then it gets smaller and smaller. And by the time you're up to, 70 years old or whatever, there's hardly anybody left. And it's shaped like a pyramid. That's why they call them population pyramids. Mm-hmm. If you look at a country like South Korea, it's almost an upside down pyramid because they stopped having babies in South Korea. I don't know what got into them. But they just stopped having babies, and everybody's getting old. Now, if you look at Ukraine, so I was looking at Ukraine's population pyramid. First of all, back in the 1990s, nobody was having babies because the country had been completely raped by Jewish oligarchs. And the same with Russia. But in Russia, when Putin came in and he kicked out at least half of the oligarchs, and started promoting the church and trying to promote people to have babies, they started having babies again. But Ukraine never had a Putin, so they stopped having babies 25, 30 years ago, never started again. And then plus, whoever is young enough and energetic enough just has like emigrated already, even before the war started. So when you look at their population pyramid, anybody can do this. Just Google Ukraine population pyramid and you'll see this. There's hardly anybody of military age there. It's just empty. It is completely empty of people in their 20s. There's hardly anybody there. And this, you're looking at data from before the war started. And so who are they sending to fight and die? It's middle-aged men. I mean, they're sending people in their 60s. They're sending people my age.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it any wonder that they're just being obliterated? They're being obliterated. These aren't young men. These are middle-aged men that they're drafting. They're even drafting women, I hear, but I know they're drafting middle-aged men and sending them to the front, and they're being obliterated. But that's something anybody can do at home. Look up Ukraine population pyramid, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
But I got a kick out of that they're worried about this Putin polluting.
Yeah. Putin polluting, and of course, Zelensky was given a bunch of depleted uranium. Was that the United States that did it, or was that Britain? I can't remember. It's probably the United States, one or the other. This is the breadbasket of Europe. Ukraine was known as the breadbasket of Europe, and you're going to dump depleted uranium all over the place?
That's right. All right.
Yeah. So yeah. It's a catastrophe. Greta Thunberg.
I'm still rooting for Putin.
Thank you.
He's going to be just fine. I pray for him every night.
That's a good thing to do. Really, I mean, and he went out, he went down south to an area called Dagestan, which is, it's in the Caucasus Mountains, so it's inhabited by literal Caucasians, but Dagestan is a Muslim area. Now, the Muslims there have lived in the Caucasus Mountains for thousands of years. These aren't people from the Middle East or wherever. They've literally been living there, and their languages are very unusual languages that aren't related to other languages outside the Caucasus Mountains. But he went down to Dagestan and just walked out on the street, and everybody wanted to take selfies with him, and they were really, really happy. And, you know, if you think about the entire world, is there anybody more popular than Putin, really?
That's, I mean, right, he is really. The most, like,
I mean,
in
terms of politician. Yeah. He is the leading statesman of our era. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else? I don't know. Maybe Xi Jinping
Muslims,
is. I don't know.
Speaking of Muslims, him mm-hmm. grabbing Michigan, you know, they've been kind of taken over by Muslims. Their whole mm-hmm. Their whole board is Muslim. But anyway, what they did was the LGBT people wanted to put banners up and everything. They said, no mm-hmm. way. Only American flag and the POW flag will fly here. No LGBT stuff. So I thought, that's great.
Yeah. So the, I guess a lot of conservatives have been saying, oh, we're going to protect the gays from the Muslims. But when what's happening is the Muslims are protecting the conservatives from the gays.
Exactly.
About that. Not that I want, I mean, I don't want immigration into our country. I don't want, you know, Muslim immigration into it. But you look at the Muslims in Michigan, and then you look at the Armenians in California, who are Christians. Armenians are Christians, but they're also from the Caucasus Mountains. They're from the Caucasus Mountains, too. And, you know, the Armenians are going out and beating up these people who are demonstrating, these trans people demonstrating at their schools. Anyway, we're up on the break. I want to thank you for calling me. It's always nice talking to you, Laura.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye, Patrick.
Bye-bye.
Privilege status that she is hoping for. Privilege status would have forced the House of Representatives to vote on the resolution. Instead, the impeachment was sent to committee. Technically, that means that the investigation has begun. But many bills and resolutions never come out of committee and effectively die. I don't understand why an investigation is needed. President Biden stood at a podium and told us that all of his constitutional advisors said the eviction moratorium during COVID was unconstitutional, but he was going to do it anyway. Like me, Biden is bound by an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he openly admitted on camera that he was not going to do that. That alone should be enough to impeach any office holder at any level, regardless of party affiliation. If you own firearms, you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market, according to Pew Pew Tactical, and save 10% by using code WHITEHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Until next time, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
That was awesome. That commercial was awesome. I hadn't heard that. Yeah, that's really funny. Especially Brother Nathaniel at the end. That's really funny. I can't imagine anybody hearing that commercial and not being totally impressed. I just can't imagine that. Okay, well, welcome back to What Really Happened to the Cicadas here. And we are going on to our next caller. That's Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, how are the cicadas out there in Kansas?
Well, there are cicadas, but I learned on Zoo Clues. I love Zoo Clues. Do you ever watch Zoo Clues?
I have seen it before.
Yeah.
Isn't it like a kid's show?
Pardon?
Isn't it more of a kid's show?
Yeah, but I love it.
Yeah. I spend my time watching like Red Panda and Capybara videos on YouTube. So yeah,
I was going to buy several of them, or you know, like see if I could get it on a DVD or a flash drive or something for my great grandson. And Now they've got all this stuff where they just want you to pay individually for it and like stream it or something, you know. And to me, I guess I'm just not up with it nowadays, Patrick. But according to them, that some cicada species, I thought they were all like 17 years. They only came out from underground every 17 years, but there's some that are a lot shorter, and I think there's maybe one that's a little longer. So, do you have the 17-year cicadas out there?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's 17-year cicadas everywhere, but they're not all synced at the same time. So if you're like
they're
in...
not?
No. So when I was growing up in, like, North Carolina and Virginia, it was, what was the big year? I think it was 1971 was the big year, so you can... But I've always missed them. Wherever I am since then, I've never seen them again. The last time I saw them was 71, and that would have been like in North Carolina. And I haven't seen them ever since, because I'm never there when it happens. I'm always either on a business trip or I've moved to another part of the country or whatever. So, and that was awesome. That's one of my greatest memories, was the 17-year cicadas. But there are cicadas that operate on other lengths. My other cicada memory was like 1980 something. I was waiting for a ferry from Japan to Korea. There's a ferry, and the town that it leaves from is called Shimonoseki, and I had hitchhiked to Shimonoseki, and I got there about 6 or 7 hours before the ferry was going to leave, so I had nothing to do. So I just went to a park. I thought, oh, I'll just sleep in the park for a while. I'm tired. I'll just sleep in the park. The cicadas were so loud, deafeningly loud, so there's no way I could sleep. I could only laugh because they were pushing back at humanity. It's the way I looked at it. Obviously, they're really not. They're just doing their thing. But, you know, they come up, and when they're up, they don't eat, or they eat hardly anything. So you can have a complete infestation, but they're not eating crops. They don't eat crops.
When they're down underground. I think that's what they eat, and then they come up to reproduce.
They eat very, very slowly. And so it doesn't impact anything. They eat very slowly, very gradually. You never know it. So they just have roots of trees, and they're way down in the ground. And then they crawl up and party for like 2 or 3 weeks, scream and reproduce and die.
Hey, you know, kind of sounds like the 60s, huh?
No, it sounds, they're boomers. They're literal boomers is what they are.
Hey,
was there anything else on your mind?
Well, there's a guy that used to write for, I got familiar with him, and he wrote for Acres USA, which is an eco-agriculture magazine, and his name was Phil Callahan, and he got his PhD in bug science. What is that? At entomology.
Yeah.
Anyway,
entomology.
He during World War II, he was a radio man, and he was over in Ireland during World War II. But he combined his knowledge of radio and frequency with his bug science, and he figured out that how the bugs communicate through frequency, a lot of them, and it was really interesting to read, and a lot of it was over my head. But anyway, that's all I had.
Well, thank you for calling, Sherry.
All right. Bye.
Okay, we are coming up on the next break. We'll be right back with more callers.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue,
and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
What really happened to the cicadas here on Republic Broadcasting? Okay, we have callers, and I think next is Bruce from Texas. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hey, this is Bruce, and I'm pro-cicada. How's that?
That sounds good.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we need a cicada defense league, and I'm willing to head it. And there's some in the tree right now where I'm talking to you. You probably can't hear them because they're pretty far up. There's not as many as there used to be, but I'm calling from the Gulf Coast of Texas, up close to Houston.
Okay.
And it's really sad. Yeah, I'm gonna swing real fast, and you can just interrupt me as you need to.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you. Are you anywhere near Palacios?
No. I'm near Houston, Baytown, that area.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the butthole Texas. If you needed to give it an enema, this is where you would put it. Okay. Man, I'm starting to lose you a little bit. I'm going to try to keep going. But because of five people in the United States that got malaria, they're going to jack up the mosquito abatement program, which is spraying poisons all over neighborhoods and up and down streets. And the insect population here has just totally almost been eradicated. And it's really, I don't know if you experienced that up north. That's what's happening down here.
I've seen that done before. It sounds insane to me, but
it is insane.
Yeah.
See, down here it's a Bible Belt. You got these kosher conservatives. A lot of them aren't really kosher, but they're all Catholic or Christian conservatives, and nature is something in the way. You know what I mean? I'm half Apache, so in fact, I look a lot like. Remember that Indian that would be crying there, and that as he overlooks the LA freeway.
Yeah, yeah, the Italian Indian.
The Italian. I thought he was Jewish.
I think he was Italian.
But anyhow. Was he? Yeah. Well, a lot of Italians played in Westerns, too, in the spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what's going on here. And what these people do is they they're contracting out to build these little colonias, which are basically slum divisions, being built by Mexicans and Guatemalan Salvadorans for the ones that are coming over. And I don't see how they afford them, but I guess they have some special financing, some federal program. And they're just cutting down entire swaths of old growth forest, paving it over, and it's just trash everywhere. And that's the situation I'm living in. This is Jewish America at its worst.
Yeah, and it'll probably get worse. You know, it's really hard to see a good way out, but I mean, the one glimmer of hope, or one of the glimmers of hope, the main glimmer of hope I see is that I think Jewish power in general has gone way too far. The war in Ukraine is way too far. And of course, the people who are pushing the war in Ukraine are Jews in America. And, you know, they've had these hoaxes. They said all these things like, oh, Black Lives Matter, which should be ridiculous on its face that, you know, these were peaceful protests. But I don't know. People have been so gaslit for so long. You had the whole coronavirus thing going on. So much of that was crazy. But I don't know. A lot of people went along with it. And if you go along with something, it's hard to, I don't know, to admit that you're fooled. And they got people are pushing back the tranny stuff, but when they've been told that the Ukraine is winning this war, and they're not, and it's just a matter of time before it all collapses, they're going to look ridiculous. It's going to, and you know, they're and it's not just that they're going to look ridiculous, but because it's not just that Ukraine is losing a war, but these non-Jewish dominated countries of China and Russia are becoming the center of what you could call an entirely new and different world order. It's not a Jew world order. And so I think they've really bitten off more than they can chew. And whatever other cliches I could think of. So we'll see how that reverberates, but things are getting weird, that's for sure.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way. You know, look at Afghanistan. We were there for 20 years, and then Biden pulls out and leave all the billions of dollars worth of equipment there. You would think it would be a big deal. It kind of like all blew over, and people just pretty much have forgotten about it, you know?
So, well,
but
I mean,
I just keep hoping. I'd rather be ruled by a Russian than a Jew.
That's right. Honestly, I that's the one thing that I've praised Biden for, and I know he didn't do it intentionally. I assume he didn't do it intentionally, but leaving all that equipment and the 6 million translators or whatever behind in Afghanistan, yeah, that was awesome. Because I didn't.
Yeah.
What would he do with those weapons? He'd send them to Ukraine or use them against us. I'd rather have the Taliban have them, honestly.
Yeah. I think they already had, they got Victoria Nuland in there. They had bigger fish to fry in the Ukraine.
And
so they just cut and run. That was the end of that. All right. Thanks for taking my call, Patrick. Okay. I always enjoy listening to your show.
Okay, good. Thanks. Thanks, Bruce. All right. And next, we've got Don in Arizona. Don, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah, I'm also rooting for Putin like that lady from Michigan there. And one thing I like about Putin, he's given several speeches. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
He's given several speeches about America's ruining itself with this tranny mania or the homosexual marriage and the tranny mania and the morality. And no American politician will give that kind of a speech. Everybody's going along with it. And it's an insidious thing, but it is a very, and people don't want to talk about it that much because they're saying, well, who cares if people chop off their genitals? But yeah, but these are kids. They're ruining all the kids in America. they have no, no idea what the hell they're supposed to do, and they say, some teacher says, why don't you cut off your penis and testicles? And they'll say, okay, I guess so. I mean, the kids should not have that option to mutilate themselves. And
I like
Putin, though, and that's another reason why I don't like this guy Jeff Nyquist, beat a dead horse. But mm-hmm. I've said a few times, the reason I don't donate to RBN is because they have Jeff Nyquist on. But I'm going to up the ante. I hereby pledge $500 check to RBN if they get rid of Jeff Nyquist. And I also call for other people to despise Jeff Nyquist to also make a pledge. We can get something going here. If I give $500, somebody else gives $2,000 or $3,000. Somebody else might give $9,000. All of a sudden, there's a lot of money there just to get rid of. All they got to do is get rid of Jeff Nyquist. So I hope everybody jumps on the bandwagon on this. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, and I appreciate your call. I am not in a position to try to tell other hosts who they can have on as guests and whatnot. So I'll just leave that as that, but I do appreciate the call. And next we've got Paul from New Jersey. Paul, I know the cicadas are out in New Jersey.
Not this year. No, they're quiet this year.
No,
but it was a few years ago. They were out making a racket. And one other point I'd like to make before I focus on my main topic, Patrick, is just to let people know that the malaria that is in the southern United States now was not brought over by a mosquito, okay? Some malaria-infected migrant came in carrying malaria. He came in to the south, and then the mosquito bit that person and mm-hmm. shared that malaria from the person they infected. That's part of the malarial cycle, just to let people know that. It was the migrant that brought. And by the way, just to let people know, too, malaria really came from Africa, and it came mm-hmm. in the blood of African slaves. So if we had left the blacks in Africa, and just we could have populated the whole Caribbean and with whites, right, if there was no slavery. Just to remind people.
Next time you're going back in a time machine, yeah.
Exactly. You should have just avoided Africa, because you brought over. And by the way, hookworm also came in the blood of African slaves. Okay, just to let you know that those were not indigenous to North America or Europe. Although there was some malaria in Italy, that's a different issue during the Roman era. Now listen, mm-hmm. I wanted to focus on why the birth rates go down in the West and also in Asia. Now mm-hmm. for one, Charles Darwin talked about this issue. Because he noticed that, and to think it's only among white people, it's not true at all. And I would, and he noticed that after, because, you know, in the Voyage of the Beagle, he stopped off in Fiji and on a few of the South Pacific Islands before going to New Zealand and then Australia. But he observed that, years later, how the population of these Pacific Islands declined after whites had first set foot there. Right, and it's not an STD thing. To me, it's a cultural disruption, and then the people lose, for some reason, the will. Maybe it's the a cultural intimidation thing that makes the birth rates drop. Now, there's a book by this fellow named James Penman, and the name of the book is called Biohistory. And he had an interesting thesis on why we have these fluctuations of birth rates. And he says it happens in about 150-year cycle, okay? So what he says, though, is the people who consistently don't have these fluctuations of birth rates are people who practice fasting. Now, if you notice, the three major Abrahamic religions, all in one form, practice fasting, or at least among the Catholics, because Catholics fast during Lent, the The Jews fast during Passover, and the Muslims fast during Ramadan. And so he basically links it into cues that are given to the body that when you have excessive food and you're fed well, then it basically gives you a cue to not breed. And in a sense, it's very compelling because if you think about it, notice where all the declining birth rates are happening. These are happening in wealthy Western nations, Japan, Italy, where there's plentiful food. And it's not happening in Africa where there's not plentiful food. It's not happening in India or Pakistan or Indonesia. No. It's happening
It is starting in India, not as much Pakistan, but India and Indonesia, but they have become much more stable in terms of food supply.
Yeah.
In recent years. It's the Middle East and especially Africa where you've got the high birth rates.
Yes. And so I think it's a compelling thesis, but it's a boring as hell book. Horrible to read. I struggled through it. I tell you, I can't remember much of it. But I thought that linking it to fasting was a compelling argument. Nonetheless, I do think because this is a 150-year cycle, I forget when we're due to come back out of the cycle and have increased birth rates again, but he projects that in his book. And so I think it's a matter of time where the white Western civilization, our hearts are going to be, the hearts of the women are going to be lifted off the ground, if you know what I'm referring to. Because there's a Cheyenne proverb that says that a nation is not conquered until the hearts of its women are on the ground. And so I think that that's the cultural, what I would call, intimidation factor, where we currently have lower birth rates. And in a sense, it happens in the media through our lives, Patrick. You know, when we were kids, and as a teenager, I remember being told all the time, because you know, Paul Ehrlich's book came out, and everybody was talking about environmental degradation and overpopulation. And so, in a sense, in Western culture, we were told that the world's overpopulated, and we should all do our part.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was reading that, like, the Japanese are dealing with this really low birth rate and an aging society, and some politician was saying, well, look, you know, there are countries in Europe that have a much higher birth rate than ours. Look at France. Look at Sweden. And it's like, yeah, but it's not the French and the Swedes who are reproducing. It's the foreigners there. You look at France. France has, I think, the highest birth rate in Europe. But it's not French who are reproducing. It's Muslims. And then what's happening in Paris right now? Not just Paris, all over France. It's on fire.
Yeah.
So it's kind of insane.
Yeah, no, it's a great tragedy, and that's true. They never separate when they do argue that point, but nonetheless, yeah. I think incentives matter. I remember Jean-Marie Le Pen; he was running for president back in the '90s, and he said he was going to pass national preference. And I do believe we have to step forward and say I do think there should be natural preference laws throughout all white European countries that basically say if you're not a real European, you get higher taxes when you have more children. And Europeans who are the real citizens, when they have more children, their taxes go down. And so we should have incentives and disincentives depending upon which group of people we want to populate our nations with. And we should be up for it and just say it right out. Shouldn't be afraid of our thoughts.
Yeah.
On that note, Patrick, thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah, sure. Hey, thanks, Paul. Yeah. Okay, we are almost up on the break. We have one more caller, but he's a good one. Joe from Florida, we'll say hi before the break.
Hello. Hello, Patrick. I'm standing by with bated breath after the break.
Well, I'm the one with bated breath. So, right back.
Okay. I'll be back.
Thank you.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Radio Pyongyang on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Whatever happened to the cicadas here? And we have Joe from Florida. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, Patrick. Listen, by the way, I just want to say, remember Nyquist at one point in his rant says, "Oh, I think the N in RBN is beginning to stand for Nazis." Well, you know what I think we have to do? We have to make sure that the N in RBN doesn't begin to represent neocons like Jeff Nyquist and the other one, Dr. Horowitz, who I like to call Dr. Hoaxowitz. Anyway, to get that out of the way, on a serious note, I do want to say, and I'm sincere about this, I want to pray for President Putin, but also pray for the world, because I think we are in a very, very dangerous time period where the possibility of a real world war is actually very real. Now, that having been said, what I want to ask you is, can you explain to me, because I know this about, you know, we got a hive mind, but then the factions of Jews, because the other day the Ukraine government criticizes Israel for supporting Russia too much or not doing enough to support Ukraine. It confused me But maybe is it the handwriting on the wall for Zelensky that even his own people are beginning to say, you know, let's get on with it here, your old history. What do you think?
Well, one of the things I've been pointing to for years when I do think the Jews in general are ethnocentric and they wake up and think about what's good for the Jews, but they don't always agree on what's good for the Jews. And the example that I've been using for years and years and years was during the Obama administration, where you had the State Department. Wendy Sherman was the lead person in these negotiations, but they negotiated an Iran deal. Right, an Iran nuclear deal. And at the time, you know, you had Wendy Sherman, you had Victoria Nuland, you had Tony Blinken was a number two person. He was involved in those negotiations too. And Netanyahu came over, what was it? I think it was in May 2015 or something. Was it 2015 or 2016? And he addressed Congress, a joint session of Congress. Was it John Boehner or who brought him over? I can't remember who brought him over. But
yeah,
he came over and addressed Congress. So you had what I described at the time as the diaspora American Jews who were more concerned about Putin because they wanted to put him in place because he stabbed the Jews in the back, the Jewish oligarchs in the back or whatever. And they were more concerned about Putin. And then you had the Israeli Jews who – regardless of what they thought about Putin, to them the biggest threat was Iran. So you had one group who thought what's best for the Jews is going after Putin, another more Israeli-centric group that thought what's best for the Jews is going after Iran.
Yeah. And even that Debbie Wasserman Schmutz, she supported that deal. She surprised me. You know, you're right. There was a division there.
Yeah. And so the Israeli Jews, a lot of them have business connections in Russia and whatnot, and so they're not doing the sanctions. And they're not adequately pro-Ukrainian for the Jews Zelensky. So they're not always going to arrive at the same answer about what's best for the Jews. But in a lot of times they are. Anyway, out of time. Thank you. More exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth,